Chapter 20, The Diaspora, The Scattering of the Jews. We've been learning about the time of the Crusades, the years when knights from all over the world fought over the city of Jerusalem. But Jerusalem was built by the Jews. Why weren't the Jewish people in charge of their own city? Long ago, back before the beginning of this book, the Roman Empire was still strong and powerful. The land of the Jews, called Judea, was ruled by Rome, and some of the governors appointed by Rome taxed the Jewish people heavily, arrested and executed Jews for no reason, and refused to let the Jewish people worship God in their own way. Finally, the Jews of Jerusalem revolted. They rose up against the Roman army that occupied Jerusalem. The Roman soldiers in Jerusalem weren't ready for a rebellion, and they had to retreat. But soon Rome heard of this rebellion at Jerusalem and sent a huge army of 60,000 men into Judea. This army marched through the countryside, destroying the villages where Jewish freedom fighters, called zealots, were hiding. Finally, they arrived at Jerusalem and put the city under siege. The siege lasted for months, until the Roman soldiers broke down the walls of Jerusalem and poured into the city. They burned the temple, where the Jews worshipped, and took the Jewish people captive. Now Judea was under Roman rule again. But the Romans were tired of putting down Jewish rebellions. They thought, as long as we leave the Jews in their own city, they'll keep trying to take it back from us. So the Romans scattered the Jews all through their empire, and they refused to rebuild the temple. This was a problem for the Jews. After all, they were Jews because of their worship of God. An Englishman was someone born in England, and a Frenchman was someone born in France, but a Jew was someone who worshipped God in the temple. Without the temple, how could the Jews be Jews? One Jewish scholar, Yohanan ben Zakkai, believed that the Jews could still remain Jews, even though they could not worship in the temple. He thought that the Torah, the sacred writings of the Jews, could be the glue that held the Jewish people together. If they could all remember and follow the Torah, they would still be Jews, even if they were scattered all over the world. But Yohanan had a problem. He was in Jerusalem, and the Romans were knocking down the walls. He knew that Jerusalem was doomed. So he bought a coffin and lay down in it, pretending to be dead. He had his students carry him out of Jerusalem, weeping and wailing the whole way, telling everyone who stopped them that they were going to bury their leader. Once they were safely away, Yohanan ben Zakkai climbed out of the coffin. He went to a little town near the sea with his pupils and there set up a school for the study of the Torah. He trained other teachers, or rabbis. These rabbis went out to other towns where the scattered Jews were living and taught them how to worship God in little local temples called synagogues. For hundreds of years, the Jews went right on living all over the world, worshiping God in their synagogues and reading the Torah. Throughout the Middle Ages, Jewish people lived in many different countries: England, Spain, France, Russia, Italy, Egypt, and more. But even though they were English, Spanish, French, Russian, Italian, Egyptian, and all the other nationalities, the Jews also remained Jews. Jews were often viewed with suspicion by the kings of the countries where they lived. In England and France, they weren't considered good Englishmen or good Frenchmen because their worship of God was more important than their loyalty to England or France. So the Jews were often mistreated. During the Middle Ages, England and France both declared that Jews were not welcome in their countries. But many Jews settled in Spain, because the Muslim rulers were friendlier towards Judaism than were the Christian kings. The Islamic Kingdom of Spain was so friendly to Jews that the Jews talk about their time in Spain as the Golden Age of the Jews. The Jews would not have a land of their own again until the 20th century. But because of the rabbis and the Torah, they remained Jews, even without a country to call their own. We call this scattering of the Jews the Diaspora. A Tale of the Diaspora. After the Jewish people were scattered, they lived in many different countries. In each country, they learned the language and customs of the people who lived around them. Jewish children in France learned to speak French, and they heard French fairy tales. The Jews in England listened to English bedtime stories, and those who lived in Spain began to speak like the Moors and told stories they had heard from the Moors. But although the Jews borrowed stories from many other lands, they also changed them so that the stories became very much their own. In many of these stories, cleverness and faith triumph over wickedness and hatred. Here is one of these stories, The Clever Rabbi of Cordova, a story told by the Jews who lived in Spain. Long ago, a clever rabbi lived in the city of Cordova, in the days when the emir of Cordova was willing for the Jewish people to live in his city. But the emir grew older and listened to evil advisors and allowed his mind to be changed. One day, the emir decided that the Jews must leave Cordova never to return. But he did not wish the other inhabitants of the city to think him a cruel and heartless ruler, so he decided to make his command look like a test. He announced, "The Jews must prove their worthiness to live in our beautiful city. They must choose one from among their number to come to my palace and pass 3 tests. Only if that man can pass all 3 of my tests may the Jews stay." Now the people in the Olama, the Jewish part of the city of Cordova, were terrified to hear this edict. They didn't want to leave their homes and gardens, cows and donkeys, shops and farms, so they gathered together and elected their clever rabbi to go to the palace of the emir. The rabbi went to the palace with a heavy heart, "For how can I save my people if the ruler is determined to throw us out?" he sighed to himself. "Our fate must be in the hands of God." He walked under the cool arches into the presence of the emir. Now the emir had decided to set 3 tests which no man could pass. So he said to the rabbi, "Your first test will determine how learned your people are. Tell me this, how many stars shine in the sky?" 5,400,302, answered the rabbi promptly. The emir stared at the rabbi in disbelief, for he had been certain that no man could answer this question. How do you know such a thing?" he stammered. "I counted them," the rabbi said. "If you don't believe me, count them yourself and tell me whether I am right." The emir realized that he had been outwitted, and so he said, "Very well. My second test will determine how wise your people are. Tell me this, what is the distance between the truth and a lie?" Now this was more difficult, and the rabbi had to think. Just as the emir was opening his mouth to say, "The Jews must leave my city," the rabbi announced, "I have it, the width of one hand." "What?" the emir said, puzzled. "The truth is what you see with your own eyes," the rabbi explained. "A lie is what another tells you to be true, but which you cannot see. The distance between your eyes and your ears is the width of one hand, so this too is the distance between the truth and a lie." The emir did not know what to say to this, so he cleared his throat and said, "You have 1 test left to pass. Now we will see how fortunate your people are." He gestured to his servant, and the man brought forward a bowl. In this bowl were 2 pieces of paper. "On 1 piece of paper," the emir said, "I have written the word stay. On the other I have written go. Choose 1 piece of paper. Whichever piece you choose, you and your people must do as it says." Now indeed the clever rabbi was distressed, for he knew that as sure as the sun rises, the emir had written the word go upon 2 pieces of paper. Whichever he chose, the Jews would be forced to leave Cordova. So he thrust his hand into the bowl, chose a piece of paper, and put it in his mouth. "What are you doing?" shouted the emir. "Why are you chewing up the paper? It has the fate of your people on it." The rabbi chewed and swallowed. When the paper was safely in his stomach, he smiled at the emir. "Oh, mighty emir," he said, "now I will abide by your judgment. The paper I chose I have destroyed, but its opposite is still in the bowl. Whatever the paper in the bowl says, I chose the other one." The emir, speechless with amazement, unfolded the remaining paper. Sure enough, it read, "Go." "So you see," the clever rabbi said, "the paper which I chose must have said, stay. As you have decreed, then, we will stay in Cordova. So the rabbi bowed and left the palace of the emir, having passed all three tests, and the emir, caught in his own trap, honored his word and let the Jews of Cordova remain in their homes as long as he reigned in that beautiful city.